The sech is open with shnei mosa metalis zeromer nim sasir zeromer nim sasir zeromer kula shali zeromer kula shali ze yishavah shein l'pach v'chetzah ze yishavah shein l'pach v'chetzah ve'yachloku. So if they each argue, they yachloku with the shvuah. The Gemara makes pretty clear later on, we've probably seen that quoted in the Rishonim, that for example, in the 7th line of Daf Gimel, where Yochanan says, shvuah zu tanis chachamim hi, right? It's the tanis chachamim, meaning really, the psak is yachloku. Then the chamer mesakin a shvuah. But it sounds like the psak of yachloku has ample grounds to stand in and of itself. And when we have machlokas here, sort of mamun hamotu basafik, let's say, sounds like the psak is mamun hamotu basafik yachloku. And then likewise, you have in the next line, zeromer kula shali zeromer chetzah shali, which there'll be an important tosis about, as we might have noticed, haomer kula shali yishavah shein levapach mishlosha chalakim vamer chetzah shali yishavah shein levapach mirviyah, zen notel shalchah chalakim, zen notel riviyah. If I say it's all mine, you say it's half yours, then also the suffix is on the other half, so you split it three quarters, one quarter. And we each make a shvuah. The Gemara later on will clarify, but it's pretty clear. We each take a shvuah. You know, I can't swear it's all mine because I'm only getting half. I can't swear it's half mine because I claim it's all mine. So I swear it's at least half mine, or I swear it's at least three quarters or one quarter mine. Ha yishnayim rochon al gabi hemo shari yachim rochon yachim manik zeh mekul shuv zeh mekul shali zeh yishav shen lepachs mechetzev zeh yishav shen lepachs mechetzev yachloku. Right, if we're both riding an animal or one is riding, one is leading, it's the same as shnayim osipitalis, and the same sock applies. Okay, there's going to be a lot to say about this later on. Daf Ches, etc. It'll take us a while to get there. In terms of how what that means, what is the parallel between riding an animal and holding on to metaltalin, or leading an animal holding on to metaltalin, in terms of the significance of riding and leading an animal, but that will leave for, you know, next man. And b'zayin she modem, sheishlam edem, cholkim below shvua. Okay, if they're modem, they have edem, then we know it's half and half, cholkim below shvua. The Tosfos, the second Tosfos, the first Tosfos deals with the issue of exactly the order of Shas. We won't, you know, we'll briefly refer to that a little later. But the second Tosfos, V'yachloku, really tries to bring in all of Shas here, Tema. The assumption is that what's the principle of our Mishnah? Mamana Matabasafe Kolkin. Okay, technically the phrase Mamana Matabasafe Kolkin, I'm quoting from a sheet of Somchas, which is mentioned on Daf Beis and Beis, but Olde Rishonim explain that it's not only Somchas, exactly in the one particular case later on where Somchas holds Mamana Mutabasaf Cholkin. Then everyone agrees there's such a principle as Mamana Mutabasafik Cholkin in certain, in the appropriate circumstances. So, what is the Din of Mamana Mutabasafik? This is a very fundamental issue in terms of underlying all of Dinei Torah Benitan. What do you do with Mamana Mutabasafik? So, Tosfos says Tema. There's a similar looking case of Cheskel Abatim. Two guys fight over who owns a boat. And likewise, a little later on, the two guys fight over who owns a field. Zeomer Shalavosai, Zeomer Shalavosai. Right? So the Psak is called the Olin Gvar. Let them fight it out. Whoever grabs it, grabs it. So what's the dinim of the Mamanot? Is it Yachloku? Or is it called the Olin Gvar? And that is the fundamental machlokas we show him here. What are the two main basic shitas here in terms of mamon motu basafik? So, is it yachlok or kol dolin gvar answering the stira? So, what?
It depends.
It depends on. Okay. So, what's the shita of Tosfos? What does it depend on? It depends on Oksin. Right, it depends on Oksin. Now here's something which I think, okay, hopefully we thought about this question. It depends on Oksin. According to Tosfos, the first shita is that of the mainstream Bali Tosfos, right? I mean, it's not all Bali Tosfos, as we know from Tosfos and Bava Basra. But the mainstream Bali Tosfos, such as Rabbeinu Tam is quoted there, and which Rishon before Rabbeinu Tam is quoted as holding the shita. The Rabbeinu Chananel, correct, Rabbeinu Chananel, and I think Rove Rishonim. You know, it's hard, because a lot of Rishonim quote all the different deos here, as you might have noticed, but I think more Rishonim hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you know, so let's not call it Tosos, because there are different Bali Tosos. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rach, the Rashbam and Basra quotes the Rach, and I think it's Rove Rishonim. Say, Ochzin Shani, meaning, according to this, what is the real din of Maman Mutl B'Safek? The default din of Maman Mutl B'Safek is which? All else being equal, called the Lingvar. And if you guys have a Safek, take care of it yourselves. Right? However, when it's Ochzin, then it's different. We can't say called the Lingvar, but they're each holding it. So if they're each holding it, well, we'll have to figure out exactly why, but let's read Tos on a simple level. Says Tosin is different. Ochzin is different because in Ochzin it's not Maman Mutl B'Safek anymore, right? In Ochzin, I'm holding half, you're holding half. Anan Sadi, that my half is mine. Anan Sadi, that your half is yours. Which is the line of the Gemara, right? Daf Gimel and Aleph. And therefore, that's not Maman Mutl B'Safek. That is Maman that we know who gets which. Okay, so that's Ochzin Shiny, meaning that the default of Maman Hamutl B'Safek. Now, if someone would raise their hand and accuse me of, why am I talking about default Maman Hamutl B'Safek? I'm talking here about our sugya. There's also the sugya in Basa, which deals with which the equal make him allow the milson, lek will make him allow the milson, shoot it to dine and other things. Okay, nachon. But for the slice we're taking now, which is the comparison of Arba and Shnayim Ochzin, the default Maman Hamutl B'Safek is called the Olin Kvar. But Ochzin Shiny, Ochzin is not a normal Maman Hamutl B'Safek. That's a special case. And in a special case, so it requires special treatment, and at least the simple pshat of reading Tosin, why is it a special case? Because it's not a Safek anymore. We know it's both of theirs. Okay, Tosin has one problem here, which is the Mana Shlishi. This is really why the Riva didn't like the mainstream shot of Tosos. The Gemara later on asks Akasha from Mana Shlishi. Right? The Andaf Gimel and Aleph, Lema sees look Rav Yossi, maybe in Lechachom, what's Mana Shlishi? So we know that, say, there's a trustworthy person, right, we'll call him Gottesman, and me and Yoni, one of us, give him $200, one of us got $100, and he doesn't remember which is which, and we both claim to be the 200 guy. So, what happens to that? At least to the controversial $100. What's the psak? Yemunach Hashiyavu L'Yahu, right? According to Reb Yossi, who says, my hifsid Ramai, all 300 is Yemunach Hashiyavu L'Yahu to punish the Ramai. Perhaps to give an incentive to the Ramai to be moded on the truth. So the Gemara asks, how come they don't say Yachloku there? Why don't you say Yachloku? Why not say Yachloku by the Mana Shlishi also? Now, according to, let's call it Tosos, the default Maman Hamutl B'Safek is not Yachloku. Yachloku is only a result of Shnayim Ochzin. So if Yachloku is a result of Shnayim Ochzin, what's the Gemara's question like? What's the happening to say Yachloku there? It's not Shnayim Ochzin. So, Tosos, that's what bothered a lot of Rishonim, made them reject Tosos. But Tosos can deal with this. The other Rishonim have various ways of dealing with it. Maybe we'll cause when we get there. It's a subtlety. Is the Gemara asking why they didn't say Yachloku by the Mana Shlishi or why they didn't say Emunah here? But Tosos says, V'chein Mana Shlishi, V'chein Gemara, L'talos, Chash Rosha, Nifka Tofes, V'chez Kishneim, Ki'ilu Heim Atzim Uksdak and Bo. Right? He says, no problem. Why did they ask the question about a Shlishi? Mana Shlishi is also Ochzin Shiny. That's also Ochzin. Why? Because, in the example, Gottesman was holding it on behalf of myself and Yoni. Now, exactly what that means, he was holding on behalf of both of us. If you're interested, this is a little too far afield. If we get to Daf Lamed, hey, we'll be more relevant. But you can look at the first simon of the stipler here. He ties that in some very fundamental lumbus about topics that we're not going to get to. This year, unless, you know, the year becomes very long, we get to Daf Lamed Hey, or even not Daf Lamed Hey, unless we, get to the Daf Lamed. But Gottesman is basically holding on behalf of both of us, therefore he's a shliach, a shomer of both of us, the Yad Shomer is like the Ba'ilim, so it's as if I'm holding it, as if Yoni's holding it, so that's also Ochzin Shiny, so no problem. Tosus has fit in the Gemara, and that's the end of this. The Chach Mishani, the Hazan Badi, Chaim Nayu, Beinachul Yicholos, Emes, Lakach Yein Munach, Valtalos, Ichol Mein Davayhu, Yach Loku. And that's why the Gemara answers there. This is what Tosos thinks the Gemara answers there. As we've seen, maybe Rashi thinks differently, we'll get to.
They answer, the reason that's different is even though here it's Osin, and there it's Osin, over here it's Osin, and it could be half mine, half yours. So it's possible it's a chalukah. Over there it's Osin, but it's impossible it'd be 50 mine, 50 his. Because everyone knows it's 200 one of ours, 100 the other one of ours, and therefore you have to be in Munach, you're stuck, there's nothing you can do. Likewise, in Daf Zayin, they said to have two people holding onto a shtar. They had two people, meaning the mouth of the lova hold onto a shtar, they split it. Why? Because that's also Oxen shiny. That's also Shnaim Oxen, and it's not like Mada Shlishi, it could be half and half. Why? Because it could be that I paid half my loan. People pay half loans in installments all the time. However, when it comes to the 200 and 100, it's not possible it's 50-50, because like, there's no chance that one of us like gave 50 as a present to the other guy. That's a highly uncommon thing to happen. But Arba, let's go to Arba. Even though it could be both of our boats, could be a shutfus boat. That's the principle. There's no muzakos. If there's no ofsen, then kol olig bar, no questions asked. Okay, that will get to know base. Some plus hold that no matter what, or at least regardless of these circumstances, you always do yachloko if there's an objective suffix. Right, we'll come back to that. That is Tosos. Who do we have on the other hand?
On the other hand, we have the Shita of the Riva.
What did Riva say? Anyone? Help me out here. The Riva says that Vaday Ramai, that the Arba case there's a Vaday Ramai. Here there's no Vaday Ramai. Why is there no Vaday Ramai in the case of Shnayim Oxen with Talis? How did these two people get the Talis? The Gemara seems to assume, how did they get the Talis? They found it, right? At least that's the case of Metzia. Right, they both found the Talis. So is there definitely a liar here? No, maybe. They found it at the same time. Maybe they picked it up at the same time. And each one thought that they picked it up first. That's my simachoyama. I think I picked it up first. You think you picked it up first. I don't mean vadi ramai. I shouldn't say liar. There might technically be a liar. I say it's mine. You say it's yours. Logically, one of us is lying. Ramai doesn't mean a liar. Ramai means a cheater. Right? A purposeful liar. Right? A trickster. Right? One of us is lying, but we both might be honest, just it's a matter of interpretation, and we each have our own interpretation, and it's an honest mistake. As opposed to the case of Arba. In the case of Arba, there's no room for an honest mistake, because let's assume, what's the case of Arba? The Gemara doesn't say explicitly. The assumption is they weren't saying we each found this boat. No, one of them saying it's my boat, and I just brought it in from Cyprus, and you were saying it's your boat, and you just sailed it in from Cyprus. So one saying it's my boat, I built it a year ago. You say it's your boat, you built it a year ago. There's a Vaday Ramai. Where does the Riva get this idea of Vaday Ramai from? Where does he get this idea that Vaday Ramai should make the difference? What does he say here? He says that, well, according to Riva, what's the default for what you should do in Maman Motu Basafik? All else being equal, what should you do? Yachloku, the default of Mamon Hamuto Basafik is Yachloku. But when can you not do Yachloku? When there's a Vade Ramai. Why can't you do a Yachloku when there's a Vade Ramai? Because if for sure there's a Russia here trying to cheat someone else out of money, why can't we do Yachloku? Because it's not proper to give money to a Ramai. How can we reward, how can Bezdin reward the Ramai? If two people make an honest mistake, Bezdin can say, let's make a compromise. Let's make a compromise. Two people have a sechsach, you'll see in most Dine Torah, it's not a Vade Ramai. Sure. Most Dine Torah, there are two people of different interpretations, have misunderstanding, I thought I'm right, you think you're right. So I'll try to make a pshara. That's a reasonable thing, yachloku. But if they're the Vade Ramai, we don't know who, but one of these people is an innocent victim, and one of these people is a Rasha Marusha, a Gan of Gomer. So therefore, Bezin can't bring themselves to give half the money to the Gan of Gomer and then laugh all the way to the bank. He's the Gan of Gomer. He says, yeah, what's the difference if I get half the money or all the money? Either way, I'm getting free money. It's a parnasa for me. So I might successfully steal $1,000 a week, or I'll time the $2,000 a week and come home with $1,000 a week. Either way, it's a good parnasa. So that Bezin can't bring themselves to do a yachloku and make a pshara to reward avadai ramai. It's just not, it's pasnished. It's not right. Therefore, default is yachloku, but, right? If there's a vader ramai, we can't do yachloku. So we're stuck with kol da'olam kvar. That's the shita of the Riva. Right now, I don't know if you looked at it through this angle, but I think that, like, if you're in London, this is the most interesting angle to look at it from. They're not just arguing about how to answer a stira. There's a stira, so I have one answer, you have the other answer. They're really arguing about how to look at mamon amakla safek, you know, at least within the parameters that we're dealing with now. Is it that we really just want to leave you guys to fight it out? But if you're already oxen, then of course we have to split it, because it's not a regular suffix anymore. Or no, we really want to split it and make a compromise, make a pshara. But if there's a ganef who's going to be laughing all the way home, then we can't bring ourselves to split it, and we're stuck with kol da'olam kvar. So what does Beis Din really like to do in the moment of the suffix, and what are they stuck with in special circumstances?
Why now is it kol da'olam kvar? Why doesn't he go along that just...
Ah, okay, excellent question. So, let's just backtrack for a second. Where did the Riva get the idea of, where did Rabbi and Tom and the Rock get the idea of Ochs and Shiny? I don't think it's a very good question. Is this Shnayim Ochs and Metalis? They said, look, I'm reading the Mishnah. It doesn't say any case. This Shnayim Ochs and Metalis. Why do most people go all the way? They say, what are you bothering me for? The Mishnah of Shnayim Ochs and Metalis, and there's a case where Shnayim aren't Ochs. There's no need for any chidushim here. The Riva, where did he get his idea of Vade Ramai? This actually is an easy question. I'm not trying to fool anyone. What? From the Gemara, Daf Gimel and Aleph, right? The Gemara asks, how come by Shnayim Ochs and Metalis we do Yachloku, and by the Manish Lishi, remember our good old Manish Lishi, we do Yehi Munach HaShiyavo Eliyahu? The Gemara answers, because Manish Lishi, we want the Ramai to lose, or at least we don't want the Ramai to gain. And there, the Vade Ramai, what do you mean? One of us gave 200, one of us 100, one of us is a bald-faced lawyer and a thief. There's a Vade Ramai. Right? So when there's a Vade Ramai, you do Yehin Munach. So the Riva says, look, I have a Mefurish Gemara that says Vade Ramai explains the difference and makes it Yehin Munach instead of Yachloku. Now, of course, the Mefurish Gemara brings Vade Ramai as a reason to say Yehin Munach instead of Yachloku. The Riva is trying to explain why to say Kol da'olam kvar instead of Yachloku. So how does the Riva equate Kol da'olam kvar to Yehi Munach? Is that something he has to make up, or is that something which has a firm basis? That he all of a sudden equates Kol da'olam kvar with Yehi Munach? Does he make that up, or does he have a firm basis?
The vote is possible.
Even better than that. I mean, I think he says it pretty explicitly in Bava Basra. He says, I'm not speculating that you can equate Yehi Munach with Kol da'olam kvar here. I'm not speculating. That's a Mefurish Gemara in Bava Basra. So Tos answer, that's one day in the Gemara in Bava Basra. Okay, but it's the day we paskel like in the Gemara in Bava Basra. That, and the Ramban and others explain that maybe everyone would agree that the Gemara in Bava Basra discusses tafsin and a lo tafsin. In the case of Kol da'olam kvar, if one guy says, what do they call this nowadays? An injunction. Any lawyers here? What does an injunction mean? An injunction means we're fighting over a boat. So what do I say? I say, look, I have Aiden that I'm going to bring in a week. It's going to take me a week to track down the Aiden. Meanwhile, he's going to sail the boat into international waters. So issue an injunction, impound the boat until I bring my Aiden. So do we issue an injunction or not? The Gemara says we don't issue an injunction. If your Aiden are here today, fine. If not, then we can't help you because you tell us you're going to bring Aiden. The Gemara says, and what if they did impound the boat? Right, itafis lo mafkinan. Where it says, let's say a Beis Din the Tos, because they held like this other shita. Right, let's say two guys are fighting over a boat called Kol da'olam kvar, and the Beis Din, one guy says to the Beis Din, could you just hold on to the boat until I bring my Eidim? And Beis Din holds on to the boat. Turns out there's no Eidim, so they say to the Beis Din, or one guy says to the Beis Din, all right, forget it. There's no Eidim. Just give us back the boat and we'll fight over it. Where it says, no, itafis lo mafkinan. Once your Beis Din is holding onto the boat, they can't give it back to Kol da'olam kvar. Kol da'olam kvar is as long as you haven't confiscated it yet. Once you're holding on to it, you can't give it back to Kol Olam Dvar. Now, what does happen? So Bezdin's holding on to the boat. So they can't give it back to Kol Olam Dvar. So what happens? So it sounds like Bezdin keeps holding on to the boat until either someone brings Edim or Eliyahu comes and tells us who's right, or I guess until the boat rots. So basically, it sounds like the Gemara in Bava Basra, Pashup Shat, that any case of Kol Olam Dvar where a third party already took possession turns into a Yehin Munach. Kol Olam Dvar means we let you fight it out as long as you're fighting it out. But once someone held on to it, now he's responsible for it. Right? And especially in the case of Gottesman, he's a Shomer. What, a Shomer can just let fight it out? No, a Shomer has responsibility. He can't just be Mafker the property. Oh, what does a Shomer do if he doesn't know how to exercise his responsibility? He has to keep holding on to it until Achi Yabo Eliyahu. So there he is, very logical. He says, look, our Gemara uses Vaderimai to explain the difference between Yehimunach and Yachloku. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells us that a Kol Olam Dvar that's confiscated by a third party turns into a Yehimunach. So therefore, Kol Olam Dvar and Yehimunach are one big category, and Kol Olam Dvar is just until a third party confiscates it. Yehimunach is once a third party confiscates it. And therefore, Vaderimai is the dividing line between Kol Olam Dvar and Yachloku. That's the Riva, and it is very logical.
But in Bava Basra, it's not a third party that confiscated it. It's Beit Din that confiscated it. Yehimunach, in the case of Manashlishi, is again only after Beit Din gets himself involved. It's not any third party. If it's any third party, then it's just a three-way litigation.
No, it's not a three-way litigation. In this case, the third party denies ownership. This is not three-way litigation. The third party denies ownership.
Right, but then who does...
So Yehimunach, the third party, has to keep holding on to it?
No, it's not the third party that holds on to it. It's Bezdin that holds on to
it. That is actually an interesting machlokes we've shown him, where in the case of Manashlishi, Bezdin holds on to it or the Shomer holds on to it.
Definitely that in the case of Ulu Arba, though, Beit Din holds on to it, and one of the Rishonim actually talks about how we don't want to do Yehimunach because it can't be that Beit Din is going to be responsible for upkeeping a boat until Eliyahu comes.
That's why they never Tofes in the first place.
Right, that implies that it's 100% going to be the responsibility of Beit Din. So meaning Yehimunach is stemming from Beit Din now getting involved, from anyone.
The Ramban here says that if Beit Din has a responsibility, then Kal v'chomer Shomer, because he was in Kal v'shmira. Kolshkin Shomer. So Bezdin can't be Machrit to Kol Olam Dvar. Kolshkin is Shomer, because a Shomer has to be Shmira. Bezdin can do whatever they want, that even they can't be Machrit once they take it in their hands. Kolshkin is Shomer, whereas Shmira can't be Machrit once he takes it in his hands. So that doesn't bother me. Okay, that is the Riva.
This is not a Lamedish question, but more in the Din of the Riva, in the Pesach of the Riva, why does Bezdin have more confidence in the people themselves to come to bring out justice than themselves?
Okay, I'm going to leave that question because you're making an unwarranted assumption. That they have confidence in it's not an unwarranted assumption. It's a falsely warranted assumption. You're reading a rush and sticking that into the Riva, right? Who said you should stick the rush into the Riva? Okay. Who said you even stick the rush into the rush? We'll get to in a few moments. But certainly, I feel fairly confident claiming that you should not stick the rush into the Riva. But we'll come back to that in a moment. Now before we get to analyzing this lumdus a little more, let's just make sure that we understand the shitos properly. What are Rabbi Tam and the Rach and Robisham saying? They're saying that whenever you have a case, you look, is it Ochsin? Or is it not Ochsin? If it's Ochsin, we do Yachloku. If it's not Ochsin, we do Kol Olam Dvar. That's what they're trying to tell us. And what is the Riva telling us? He's telling us, you look, is it Vadai Ramai? Or not Vadai Ramai? If it's Vadai Ramai, you do call the Olin Dvar, because we can't really just give money over to a Vada Ramai. It's too distasteful to best it. If it's not a Vada Ramai, we say, look, let's make a pshara, make everyone happy, or at least, you know, make everyone the happiest we can, and hope that they're all innocent people and we're making everyone happy and we're doing the best we can.
If the chashash of Vada Ramai that we're both barring is Mahavs of Ramai, so won't Kol Olin Dvar potentially play into the hands of that also?
But at least we're not doing it.
You still end up encouraging Ramos.
What?
You still end up in the... Wouldn't game not be a better solution if the chashash is purely Mahavs of Ramai?
Aha, so that is an interesting question, which is exactly what Rashi and others would say. It's like, Vada Ramai is a behem munach. Don't bring Vada Ramai to Kol Olin Dvar. That's what Rashi would say, as maybe we've seen, and we'll see again in the next week or two. So from a practical, you're right, you do have a weakness in the rebuff. From a practical perspective, Kol Olin Dvar, if there's a Vada Ramai, then that's also, you know, 50% likely to be rewarding the Ramai. But I think I would answer two things. Either A, look, Yehimuna, either A, say that we could have done Yehimuna, but then the innocent guy also loses it. This way, at least this way, the rightful owner has a 50% chance of winning Kol Olin Dvar. So, you know, maybe we'll get the right result. Or you could also say that, you know, we don't want to be a guy and give money to the Ramai. But if that's life and the Ramai wins, that doesn't bother us as much.
Or doesn't it bring down the whole concept there is that the real owner is going to fight more and have more rights?
Right, that's the rush, not the rebuff.
Okay, sorry.
Correct. You could also say the Kol Olin Dvar, which we'll come back to. Yes, although incorrect. You could also say the Kol Olin Dvar maybe will, the real owner will be more likely to win. Even against the rebuff. Correct, far from definitive, as I will claim soon enough. Okay, the rebuff himself in Baba Basra brings up one sugya that's a little difficult for him. What sugi is a little difficult? If you say that we only do yachloku when there's no Vada Ramai. Like the Talmud, no Vada Ramai. They're not sure who picked it up first. Then in what case yachloku is difficult for the Riva? The Riva himself points out in Baba Basra.
The Shtaros.
By Shnayim Adukim Mishnah, right? How about the Shtaros? After all, on the Malva, you're the lower, both holding onto the Shtar. I'm holding onto the Shtar because I claim you didn't pay me. You're holding onto your Shtar because you claim you paid me and took your Shtar back. Right, I say, what do you mean? You still owe me the money. You started grabbing the shtar. And you say, what do you mean? I paid you the money, got the shtar back, and then you took it back from me. So over there, it's hard to imagine how this is a misunderstanding. Sorry, it's hard to imagine how this is a misunderstanding. Right? Either I paid the loan or I didn't pay the loan. It's not a mitzia. So that case seems to be a little difficult for the riba. Shtayim adukim b'shtar, there's a vada ramai. So why do we say yachloku? So what did the Riva say, himself say in Baba Basra? He does? I don't remember saying that. That would be an interesting svara. Why is it not Vada Ramai? I'd be interested in that svara. I couldn't think of a good svara. So Riva himself says, but Old Pirish Riva, the Ochsen afilu ikam Vada Ramai yachloku. He wants to say, at least the Riva himself came back later and said, that you know what? When it's Ochzin, then it doesn't matter if it's Vada Ramai or not. I still like my answer, Vada Ramai, but I also admit that Ochzin shiny. This is the Riva. Riva owed when he came back later and said, he said, you know what? I also admit that Ochsin shiny. I'll also have to admit to Rabbeinu Tam that Ochsin shiny. When it's Ochsin, of course, Ochsin is half yours, half mine. Then it's not within the realm of Mamon Moth Basafik. So I still have a fundamental disagreement about what to do with Mamon Moth Basafik, but I admit that Ochsin shiny. The Ramban here, according to this, let's just ask a simple question. What is the din of Shnayim Ochsin Vitalis? Ze Omer. Ani aragtiha, ze omer, ani aragtiha, what would Rebbeinu Tam paskin? He would say, yachlokum, right? Ochsin shiny. What would the Riva, when he came back and added to his shita paskin?
Also yachlokum.
Also yachlokum. However, the
Ramban, he brings down the machlokes during the time of the Riva without names.
How do you say this? The shita that's like the Riva that's brought in the Ramban, he denies Oxen Shiny Legamre. He just says, Vadai Ramai Kolda Olengvar. La Vadai Ramai Yachloko. And he doesn't acknowledge any Oxen Shiny. How do I know that in the Ramban's version of the Shita, he didn't go back, he doesn't hold that you have to go back and say Ops and Shiny, because the Ramban quotes the Shita, again, not the name of the Riva. The Riva himself went back and compromised the Shita a little. But the Ramban quotes the Shita, he ends with saying that according to this Shita, Lazeh Hatam, according to this Shita of the Shita like the Riva, but not what the Riva himself added to later, Zeh Omer Ani Yorak Tiyah, call the Olam Gvar. He doesn't think that Ochsin makes a difference at all. He doesn't think Ochsin makes a difference at all. Now, someone will ask me, what does he do with the Shtar and Dav Zayin? Ochsin doesn't make a difference. Then why in Shnayim Adugim with Shtar do they split it? So I have an answer for that, but I'll let you think about it. If you're really curious, you can ask me. So, these are the Derebeinu Tam, Oaks and Shiny, the Riva who said, not Oaks and Shiny, Vada Ramai Shiny, but then added in that also I admit Oaks and Shiny. Because after all, if it's Oaks and then it's half and half, then what does that have to do with Mono Masopi? And the Ramban's version of the Riva who says, no. It only depends on Vada Ramai, and Oaks and is not Shiny at all. Let's see if we can figure out how a few other Rishonim hold on this. How about the Rambam? Who does the Rambam hold like? Rabbi Yitam or the Riva? Or neither? Anyone? Who does the Rambam hold like? He seems more like the Riva. Who says the Rambam holds like the Riva? That goes by Monimus, right? On the bottom of the Rambam, if I find it here, says the Hagos by Monimus on the Rambam Torah Nitan Tes Perik Tes Alachazayin. He says, oh good, someone underlined this. So, Mitok Lashona Nira Daito Kiritzva. Ritzva and Rebar are the same thing, right? Just Yitzvah, Yitzad, Yor Yod. Shapirish, the Lav Davka Oksin, and nothing to do with Oksin. Midamar Talmud, Levi Masish, Lokar Yosia, Lamai, Rabban, Meyo, Amra, Shay, Munacha, Shivaliyah, Bahaina, Mikshar, Dome, Alma, etc. The time of Yachloka, Lomar, Kalil, and Vark, Ayar, Bavir, Kazabat, Nahaf, Ravite, Vibe, Hadi, and Dodiang, Behuok, Nahuhu. Right? Because here there might not be a Bade Ramai. Okay, so he says, the Ramam sounds like the Rifa. So that goes Maimonides thinks the Rambam sounds like the Riva. That goes Maimonides himself, we've heard Rabbeinu Tam, but he thinks the Rambam sounds like the Riva. Okay, why does he think the Rambam sounds like the Riva?
Because he said that we said in the case of the pinch by Ops. As in, it seems to be that first here is
it's
Oxen, and then.
Now, more pointedly, why does he think the Rambam holds like the Riva?
Because the Rambam includes cases where there's no
Chizah. Exactly, because the Rambam doesn't say Ochsin. What does the Rambam say? Shnayim show you Ochsin b'kli yachad, that's our Mishnah. O show you Rochen al gavim b'chema achas, that's our Mishnah. O show you Echad Rochen b'yachad nanhig, that's our Mishnah. O yoshin b'tzad ha-reim ha-shalchit ha-munachad v'simta b'chad v'shal shneim. Or they're sitting next to a pile of wheat, which is in a simta, or an alleyway, or a chatzar, that belongs to both of them. What does the Rambam say? It says, not Oxen Shiny, Oxen Lam Davka. It's the same Oxen, it's the same sitting next to it. So the Rambam apparently doesn't think Ochsin is the relevant factor. If Ochsin is not the relevant factor, then what must he hold? He must hold like the Riva. That is the Agos Maimonios. He says the Rambam holds like the Riva. Agos Maimonios says he holds like the Riva because he doesn't say our Mishnah is only Ochsin. Says Ochsin or sitting next to a pile of wheat. So that sounds like the Riva. Is that a good Taina? Exactly, you would die better in the Rambam. Who holds the Rambam is not like the Riva? The Magen Mishnah. It doesn't say explicitly in your time, but the Magen Mishnah says, right here also, he says, V'dashi, yeshman unfortunate swur, and shemaya echad omer ani yaragdi, v'echad omer ani yaragdi, kim dika vader amai, yemunaf lo omer yachlok el mashe efshar shashneim zachabaka echad, the nis lo mazeb sugi sagabar. Okay, here he's going to Rashi, and after he goes, he says, some people say vader amai makes a difference, but now we know ikr so chilek bazeh, chol gav na chol kemishvua, vader amai doesn't make a difference. It's really saying that the Rambam is not like Rashi, but he says that the Rambam holds there's no difference in vader amai and not vader amai. There's no difference in vader amai and not vader amai. Then who might the Rambam hold like? So, this Mufurish in the Torah. The Torah says the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Hananel. Now, why might you think he holds like Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Hananel? He never said anything about Vada Ramai and not Vada Ramai. If you look at what's the difference between, in the Rambam, between the Shnayim Ochsin Talis case and the Mamad Basra case, here he just said, remember what we just read. Zeramar Kol Shali, Zeramar Kol Shali, the Ichei Kol Shali. What does he say when he quotes the case, bless you, of how Arba, Svinim Chayotzi Basho Yishnayim Nechlok Olea, Zeramar Kula Shali, Zeramar Kula Shali. He quotes the case of Kol Da'ol Ngvar, the Svina, he says Kula Shali V'Kula Shali. He quotes here, he says Kula Shali V'Kula Shali. Where does he imply that one is a Vader Rimei, one is not a Vader Rimei? So the Torah says the Ram holds like Rabbeinu Tam. Anyone want to explain, prove to me, who's right? Who's right? Does the Ram hold like the Riva or Rabbeinu Tam? What do you think is more Mestaber? And there's a clear consensus of this in the room. What's more Mestaber? Is he like Rabbeinu Tam or like the Riva? Or neither, if you want. I'm open-minded. What do you think is the right shot of the Rambam? What's the right shot of the Rambam? I think his lashon is striking. What does the Rambam say? Two people, Ochsin Betalis, or Rochon Abeim, or Rochon Echabanhe, that's all in Mishnah, or sitting next to a pile of wheat in a simta or a chatzar shel shneihem. Yeah?
So it's like Rabbeinu Tam, and then we say that.
Right, because what could the Rambam have said? Or sitting next to a pile of wheat? And it's just right. Or he could have just said, or sitting next to a pile of wheat, right? Meaning, the Rambam could have just said, two people were Ochsin Bekli, or
sitting next to a pile of wheat.
Yachlok. And then he would have told us later, two people argue about a boat called Olengvar, and we would have had to figure out why is one called Olengvar and the other Yachloku. I don't know. Maybe we would have made up Vader Rimei, found some Diuk. I don't know. It seems to be hard to find a Diuk. But and even if you notice in the Mepharshim on the Daf, the Gus Manoich keeps saying, yeah, the Rambam doesn't distinguish between Ochsin and Lav Ochsin. And the Magen Mishnah says, the Rambam doesn't distinguish between Vader Rimei and Lav Vader Rimei. Like, everyone's very into the Rambam not distinguishing. It's very hard to figure out where the Rambam does distinguish, which is, of course, the more important question. But the Torah says, no, the Rambam distinguishes between Ochsin and not Ochsin. How did the Torah know this? Because the Rambam is very mephorish. He says, sitting next to a pile of wheat in a simta or in a chatzar shel shneihem. Now, when two people are, why does it matter where you're sitting next to a pile of wheat? Right, there's no pile of wheat in the Gemara, to the best of my knowledge. I would have noticed. There's no case of two people sitting next to a pile of wheat in the Gemara. The Rambam is not quoting any specific case. He's just trying to explain logically what kind of cases we're dealing with. And he says, well, sitting next to a pile of wheat in Simta or Chatzar shel shneihem. Obviously, but not if it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabin or a Chatzar she'eina shel shneihem. Not if it's in a third party's Chatzar, randomly dumped in a third party's Chatzar, and not if it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabin. Only if it's in their joint chutzar, or a simta. What's unique about a pile of wheat which is in their chutzar shel shneihem? What? They're ochsin, right? They're ochsin with kinyan chutzar, right? What do you mean ochsin? Does ochsin have to mean my hand is on it? Something's in my house, that's not ochsin? It's in my house. I'm ochiz. I'm not holding on to it. If something's in my house, I'm holding it. I'm mochzik in it. So it seems clear that chatzah shel shneihem is ochzin. How about simta? Simta is an alleyway. What's the difference between, we know a little shas, what's the difference between an alleyway and a rishas harabim? An alleyway doesn't belong to anyone or belongs to everyone, and a rishas harabim belongs to everyone, right? They're both like the public places. What's the difference between an alleyway and a rishas harabim in terms of dini mamonos? And rishas harabim, that's total hefker. No one has any shaykh with rishas harabim. It's just totally no man's land. In a simta, why? Because rishas harabim is meant for everyone to be always running around. Like, you're not supposed to like set yourself up in rishas harabim. It's for walking. It's not for using. A simta and alleyway, on the other hand, no, that's for people, you know, whoever wants can come and do something in the alleyway, and then later another guy will come and do something in the alleyway, and that is a din. Well, exactly. What's the nature of that din? But there's a din, for example, Mashiach is not kona b'shus harabim, because I'm not being moshech in my own property. Mashiach is kona b'simta. Why? B'shus harabim is nobody. Simta is like, whoever wants to use it can use it. It's like the shul talis, right? Whoever wants to put it on make a bracha, it's their talis. Their talis now, it's not their talis tomorrow. So, a simta is basically everyone who wants to use it. It's their own rishus. That's why you can be kodim dal amas the simta, right?
The achronim just
had a lot of question answers about this, but the nesivas, basically everyone agrees with the nesivas, and he says, look, in a simta, everyone has their own dal amas. Whoever's using the simta, it's theirs at that time. If I'm doing a shikha in the simta, it's mine for me to do my mashikha, and then in a minute later, it could be the next guy who wants to do mashikha. If I were to be kona something with dalet amos in a simta, it's mine, well, it's my dalet amos. And then when I go home, it'll be someone else's dalet amos. That's the nature of a simta. A simta is pretty similar to a chatzah shel shneihem. We both have rights in it. In a simta, we both have rights in a simta. So if we both have rights in a simta, then if I'm sitting next to the wheat and you're sitting next to the wheat, that means that I'm ochzin, because it's in my area of the simta, and you're ochzin, it's in your dalet amos, the simta. That's how the Nesivos explains. So if you're medayek in the Rambam, why does it have to be simta or chatzah shel shneihem? To have them both have an achiza. Not only that, according to the Rambam, where do the people have to be? Why can't it be in the simta and I be someplace else? The answer is, because for me, having achiza in the simta, I have to be there. The simta is mine to utilize when I'm there. It's not mine when I'm halfway across the globe. So it seems pretty medayek in the Rambam. All the achronim agree to the Torah and the Magen Mishnah against Agos Vamanios, that, or, you know, substantially all the Achronim, that the Rambam holds like Rabbeinu Tam, that Ochsin Shiny, he just has a very broad definition of Ochsin. You don't have to mamish be grabbing it. It's enough for it to be in your Rishos, like Chatzah Shel Shneihem, or even in your, you know, temporary Rishos, which you have rights to use, like a Simta, while you are while you're sitting there. You just need a very weak achiza. But you still need an achiza, and I think that's what I'm doing in the Rambam. Otherwise, why is he starting with simta and chatzah shel shneihem as opposed to any other case? And then the Rambam is clarifying himself. Look, there's no stira. I told you this one case, ochsin or sitting next to it in the simta or chatzah shel shneihem. By the boat, I told you the stam of boat. Haven't I been clear and told you ochsin shiny? So I think shot on the Rambam as well as the fact that, who is the Rambam, you know, out of all the Rishonim who we mentioned, who would the Rambam be likely to follow, or who we haven't mentioned? Who does the Rambam often like to follow? He often likes to follow the Rif, is the first answer. But we don't know what the Rif says here exactly yet. The Rambam often follows the Rimi Gash. We know the Rambam had, superlatives he used to describe the Chach of the Rimi Gash were unparalleled in his description of anyone else. And the Rimi Gash in Baba Basra is very clear that he holds like the Rach, which makes sense. He comes from the Masorah of the Rach. And the Rimi Gash already starts talking about whether it's an Achatzah Shel Shneihem. So the Rimi Gash already starts talking about Achatzah Shel Shneihem. All the Rambam did was add a simta. So it seems pretty clear that he was getting it from the Rimi Gash and he's following the Mahalach of the Rach. And I think this shot in the Rambam, you know, why he might have had such a liberal standard of Achiza and allowed even this small kind of Achiza, we'll come back to.
The tzad then, the Rambam says, the tzad only goes with the sisma. It's not the tzad in the chatzah shel shneihem.
That would, if you look at the lashon, it's ambiguous in the lashon, But it would make sense that the tzad shouldn't be necessary to chatzar shel shneihem, perhaps, unless then you really have to get it to chatzar shel shneihem. This is the Mishnah, the beginning of Hashutfin, in Maseches Nedarim. What's the nature of a chatzar shel shneihem? Is a chatzar shel shneihem, it's always both of ours, or it's meant for me to use sometimes and you to use sometimes, right? That comes up in the beginning of Hashutfin. If I'm mudra enough from you, we own a chatzar shutfas. Can I never go in because I'm using half your dirt and half my dirt? Or can I go in because on my day it's mine and your day it's yours? So, yesh, I'm ala duna chatzar shel shneihem, but ain't kam bakum
harach. You meant you're saying that chatzar or shutfas is less than achiza. Why are you mechalik between the two?
The chatzar shel shneihem perhaps not. The simta, because the Eben Oz already asked this kasha, because it's not so clear that Arba Amos B'Simta is not really mine, it may just be someplace I have the right to use. And especially if the Takana, if Arba Amos is really only Takana Drabbanan that it's Kona, it's only Drabbanan like a Chatzer. So the Eben Oz says, so the Takana Drabbanan is only for people who are honest, not for Gadopim. And if one of these guys is a Gadop, maybe they weren't talking for him. So there is lots of questions, but I'll come back to that.
Doesn't one of the Achronim use this to suggest that the Rambam is saying a little differently, that the Achiza isn't about necessarily some sort of kinyan, but it's
that's actually, the Eben Ozel.
Right.
Yeah, okay, we'll come back to that. Good. Okay, now, let's just ask, and here I'm going out on a little more of a limb, but what's the Shita of Rashi? Here I'm going out on a little more of a limb. If you look, you notice the Shita of Kvetzes here, it has, you know, maybe 40% quoting the classic Rishonim, who you are familiar with in the Shittim Gvetzes and Baba Kama, let's say, or Baba Basra, and 60% Achronim meaning not Reb Chaim, or not the Shagas Ari Nixos, but Achronim meaning the generation right before and of Rav Tzal Ashkenazi, the school of the Sephardic Piltel school of the very early period of the Achronim, and there Mefalpel at great length, the nature of the endeavor, in the Rashi in the beginning here, and they argue what he meant, but Rashi means the Shnei Mochzak Metalis, Davka Ochsin, the Shnei Mochzak Iba, only Ochsin if they're both Mochzak, the Ein Lezek Koch V'Yosmer Zed, neither one has more Koch than the other. She'ilo Haishu B'Yarech Levado, Midich Motzimir Ol Raya, if one guy was holding the Talis, the other guy would be Motzimir Ol Raya, Be'edim Shu Shalom, Ein Nemen Zed L'Tol Shvua. Rashi seems to say something on the simple level, and that's, if you're not, give me a falpel in Rashi. Simple pshat in Rashi is he's just teaching you kindergarten because, you know, sometimes kindergartners start with the beginning of a metziah. Now, they start in the mafke, but I think in Rashi they hadn't invented that idea of starting in the middle yet. So he's telling you, look, if one guy told him how to tell us the other guy tainas, that's called the multiple world of Raya. You have to bring a proof. You can't, like, swear and take someone else's property. But here, it's because they're both oxen. Well, not necessarily saying anything Lundish. But if you want to be a dayek and say exactly why did he have to tell us something which is so obvious, then there's a machlokas near Kurdan Shit Kvetzis, whether you're a dayek that he means like the Rivar, or you're dayek that he means like Arabinu Tam. But you might say on a simple level, and maybe he's trying to mean Rabbi Arabinu Tam, Davka Oxen. Our mission is only Oxen. That's not his main intention. Perhaps one could be a dayek. Our mission is Davka Oxen. And you want to know how it's not Oxen, look at other Masechtas. Our Mishnah is Davka Ochsen, which would be Rabbeinu Tam, Ochsen Shiny. Now that's very, very far from a proof, but I think you could bring a better Raya from the sheet of Rashi, the very bottom of the page. What does Rashi say about Vade Ramai? This is the very controversial Rashi that we'll have to spend some time on. The bottom of the Amud, I mean. What does Rashi say in, what happens in a case of Aniyah Raktiha, Aniyah Raktiha? Rashi says Yemuna Hashiyav Ol Yahu. Rashi says, Vada Remai leads to Yehemunach. Hold it. Vada Remai makes us paskin Yehemunach. Then what does it not make us paskin? It does make us paskin. He doesn't say, like the Ramban, in the name of the Rivat type Shita. Vada Remai makes us paskin Gold Olivar, unless it's beyond Shlish. He says, Vada Remai is always Yehemunach. That's an interesting Shita, which we'll have to make a chart about. But clearly, he doesn't think Vada Remai is what lies behind Kol Dolim Var. Because Vada Remai can never make Kol Dolim Var. Vada Remai can only make Yehemunach. So, Rashi can't seem to hold like the Riva. If Rashi can't hold like the Riva, then maybe we go back and die. Davka Ochsen, that Rashi holds like the Ring of Tom, that Ochsen shiny. That's not a proof.
But that's certainly how his grandson held, because the Bava Basra, the Rashbam, quoted the Rach. None of this is approved, but maybe Rashi. I think it's pretty clear. Some of the Achronim, Bedocha, get out of this. But it's pretty clear that you can't hold like the Riva. Because the Riva says, Vada Remai is what makes you do Kolda Olimvar. And Rashi says, no, Vada Remai makes you do Yehimuna. Doesn't make you do Kolda Olimvar. So Vada Remai doesn't make you do Kolda Olimvar. Then what's Pshat? So you might have to go back to Oksin. Shiny. Okay, before we get back to have enough time to analyze the Lumdus that lies in a very deep level behind Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, I'll point out, this is a little known fact, I'm not sure why, that there is a third Shita in answering the question of Tosfos besides Rabbeinu Tam and the Riva, which the Shita is Yachid. Anyone know who is the third Shita in answering the Stira? I think there's only three Shitas, at least this is far that I've looked at. I don't know, maybe there's some obscure Achron that I never heard of.
Isn't there Ramban the third Shita?
It's not a different answer to the Stira. It's not a new answer. Just arguing that the Riva also admits serving the Tam or doesn't. But there's still only two answers, Vade Ramai and Oksin Shai, right? Who said that?
Rashba.
The Rashba. The Rashba has a third Shita. He brings down Rabbeinu Tam, he's Mephoplin, and he says, but you know what, the question never really bothered me so much in the first place. For the actual question, I have a good answer. The Rashba, this is a Shita Tzyachit. The Riva is not a Shita Tzyachit. Lots of Rishonim quote the Riva, and some hold like the Riva, and most of them quote like those are Riva and Rabbeinu Tam. There are two valid Shitas. This is a Shita Tzyachit of the Rashba. And he uses a line for the Gemara Bava Basra Daf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph. What does the Rashba say? Yosef? Master Mitzvah Melukvar? Lekel Mekel Ola Demilsa. The Gemara in Bava Basra asks the question. Shtei Shtaras Hayotze Miyom Echad. If, let's say, Morty sold his house, right? I have a Shtari sold his house to me, and Aaron has a Shtari sold his house to him. Both Shtaras have the exact same date. So it depends who received the shtar first, right? Let's say. It depends who received the shtar first. So, and there's no way to know. Like, how do we know who received the shtar first? So it's machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, yachloku the field. Shmuel says, shuda the daini. The judges just use their judgment or use their authority. The Rashba holds they use their judgment. They just try to judge. Just, you know, try to take an educated guess. The Gemara Bava Basra asks, why do we say kolda olimvar by the boat? And Shmuel passing Shuda to Daini, Rav passing Yachloku by the field and the two shtaros. And the Gemara says, ah, because one is equal to make him a little milsa, and the other is likely to make him a little milsa. By the boat, you might be able to prove who's right and who's wrong. By the field, you'll never prove who's right and who's wrong. The field is likely to make him a little milsa. There's no way to prove who got their star first and who got their star second. Both stars have the same date. And, you know, both stars were just like handed over. And it's not like something, oh, like who owns the boat? So you find evidence here. Some guy happened to notice at this point. Some guy was here when someone bought it or when someone was using it. You know, by one day, I'm a bad person because I like told two people giving them the field at the same day. And only the first one was Chal and the second one wasn't. Let's assume, at least according to so there's no way to figure out who's right and who's wrong. When there's no way to bring evidence, then Rav says split it, and Shmuel says shoot it a daini. Like, there's no way to deal with this. So if there's no way to deal with this, take Shmuel, shoot it a daini. The judges just take their best guess as to who he gave the field to. So says the Rashba. The Rashba says, I'll explain to you the difference in Shnayim Oksin Metalis and the boat. Now, if I were to ask you, Shnayim Oksin Metalis, is it equal to make him a demilsa? Meaning you can perhaps figure it out, or you'll never be able to figure it out. What would you think? Could I ever bring proof to whose talis it is or not? What would you intuitively think? Is this something which is proof of, you know, which someone could find proof for or not? So I would think, and all the other Rishonim would think, no, this is like the boat. You could bring proof someday. You know, we argue as to who picked up the talus first. I can find some Aiden who saw who picked up the talus first, right? I could find some proof as to whose talus it was. But the Rashba looks at it a little differently. He says, no,
He says the odds are very, very slim that you'll figure out whose talus it was, especially since the Gemara says, at least the first case, don't have Mitzia. Who picked up a Mitzia? Two people saw a Mitzia around the same time they picked it up. How are you going to find Aiden Musso who picked it up first? That was like a one-second window. What are the odds you're going to find Adim who witnessed that? It's not like fighting over who owned a boat. You can go back years and find Adim. Fighting over who owned a field. You can go back years and find Adim. Here, he says, this is Lekel make mother the Milsa. So says the Rashba. The Rashba says that the boat is Ika Lemekam Allah de Milsa, and therefore called the Olimvar. As opposed to the talis is leka lameka mala demilsa. That literally means, can we stand? Can we clarify the issue? Right? You can never clarify the talis. You're not going to be able to prove who picked up the talis first. The odds are you can't prove who picked up the talis first. That's the issue. It's Yachad of the Rashba. And therefore, now he just has to go through one more step. Still a little tricky. Therefore, he says, you know why talus is different than the boat? Because in the boat, you'll be able to bring proof someday. So meanwhile, let them fight it out until you bring proof. You might bring proof, so let them fight it out until we bring proof. However, the talus, you'll never bring proof. So, now, of course, how should we paskin if you can never bring proof? What should the halacha be? Who holds which? Rav holds Yechloka, Shmuel holds Shuda D'Dayanan. Who should we paskin like, Rav or Shmuel? Shmuel and Dinah Mavonis, right? So we should pass and shoot it to Daini. That's a little tricky. Hold on, if we should pass and shoot it to Daini, how does that explain? How does that explain the talus if we should be pass and shoot it to Daini? Right? What? Ah, so this depends on, we're not getting into this now, the famous machlokes Rishonim, what shoot it to Daini means. Rabbi Gutam says shoot it to Daini means the judges just pick who they like better. But the Rashi thinks shuta d'ayinim means they use their judgment to figure out who's right. They use their intuition. So the Rashi says, we would like to do shuta d'ayinim here, but there is no intuition who picked up the Mitzia first. When it comes to a presence, a transfer of real estate, the judges can use their intuition and insight into human character to figure out who probably really got the field and who probably didn't. They look at the parties involved, try to put themselves in their heads, but there is no shuda. And he assumes, even Shmuel admits, when there's no shuda, you do yachloku. Now, that's a few steps. So he says, like we'll make him other milsa, which means shuda d'daini. That is based on the Gemara. On the Gemara in Bava Basra. But, since you can't do a shuda here, therefore you do yachloku. That's how the Rashi says. He would have answered this talus. Shnai mochsim b'talus yachloku. Why? No problem. Because since you'll never bring evidence anyway, therefore we should be doing a shuta d'daini. The judges use their intuition. And then he makes a chiddush that's not found in the Gemara. Whenever the judges don't have an intuition, now, I don't know, I might have said when the judges don't have an intuition, do kol dolim varim. When the judges don't have an intuition, do yet. I don't know, but he assumes when the judges don't have an intuition, a shuta d'daini turns into a yachloku. That's the two assumptions he's making. Number one, that you'll never bring evidence about the talis. And number two, that whenever the judges don't have an intuition, shuta d'daini morphs into yachloku, and that's how he answers the stira.
The outcome of shuta d'daini can be yachloku. They can decide in their judgment that the proper thing to do is yachloku, not that it's a separate thing. It's one of their possible outcomes.
Not according to the Rashi, because if shuta d'daini means they use their intuition to figure out what really happened.
They figure out that they can't figure it out, so they...
Okay, I guess that's what he's saying. But it's still a chiddush, because I would thought shuta d'daini means use your intuition to figure out the history, the story, the facts. Here, they're not using their intuition to figure out the facts. They're using their intuition to give up on the facts and make a compromise. That's a chiddush, that shuta d'daini can become yachloku. Again, if shuta d'daini had meant to give to whoever you want, that's no chiddush. But if shuta d'daini means you have to use your intuition to be a detective and figure out the facts, then to be Sherlock Holmes, then it's a chiddush to say I can also use my intuition to figure out what's a nice thing to do. Okay, that's the chiddush of the Rashba. We'll leave the Rashba aside for now, because he is a shitas yachid here, and go back to delve a little deeper then into Rabbi Nutam and the Riva. on a very, very fundamental lumdish level.
What are the Beinutam that we're arguing about? Beinutam says
the default psak is kol dolin gvar. We do kol dolin gvar unless you tell me it's not really a suffix because we're each holding half and we each deserve half.
What did the Riva say? The Riva says no. The default of mamar amot basafik is yachloku.
Unless we can't do yachloku because we can't reward a bade ramai, right? We can't do something so distasteful as to give money to a bade ramai. Then we have to say, okay, just leave it to kol dolin gvar.
What is the basis of the machlokas between the time and the Riva as to what the preferred default solution to the moment of the sofek is? What's the real rule and what's the shiny? What's the rule, what's the exception? The time says the rule is called Olivar, the exception is Oaks and Shiny. Riva says the rule is Yachloku. The exception is Vade Ramai, you have to do called Olivar.
So, what are they arguing about? What is the
Yisod of their machlokas? That's, you know, if you want to get into. You really want to get to the bottom of things. You have to not just figure out how people answer the, you know, the, often lumdus comes from good stiras, right? There's a stira between two sogis, there are two different answers. You can leave it at that, or you could say, well, why are they giving two different answers? You know, what is fundamentally better about one answer than the other in the eyes of the Rabbeinu Tam, and better at the answer of the Riva, what the other answer than one in the eyes of the Riva? So here we have, what is the preferred sock? In Maman Hamotel B'Safek, Rabbeinu Tam says, Kol Dolin Gvar, but Oksan is shiny. The Riva says, Yachloku, but Vade Ramai needs special treatment. So, what would you think is better, Yachloku or Kol Dolin Gvar? So, what are they arguing about? So, Yoni, how good is Kol Dolin Gvar? Is that a good answer or a bad answer? Is that a good answer or a bad answer, Kol Dolin Gvar? Yachloku, I understand what Yachloku. Yachloku is, well, on the one hand, it's a terrible answer because, like, you're really, like, taking away half the money from the rightful owner and giving it to the non-rightful owner. But on the other hand, you're making a compromise. Is kol dolin gvar a good psak or a bad psak? What do you think?
Depends what it means.
Depends what it means, right? Here, I think we have to turn to the Rush, right? We're all familiar with the very famous Rush, the very beginning of our sechet. What did the Rush say? Why did they say kol dolin gvar? Why did they say kol dolin gvar?
They don't
want to
get
the
right guy to win.
The right guy will win. The Rush says, you know, kol dolin gvar is not hefker. Kol dolin gvar doesn't mean fend for yourselves. Kol dolin gvar actually works. Why does kol dolin gvar work? So he says that the yosa roy lomer lehem shekol mi shetigabri tigbar yodu b'kocha b'raya shigizka v'soch hazesh mi shadini mo kol dolin gvar. Says, first of all, because you know what? Whoever's right will probably find a proof. After all, it's his ego label of the Melsa. So, you know, they won't really find it out. The guy will find proof. Okay, but what if he doesn't find proof? So he says he's a good psychologist. The Rush is Machadish's idea. He says, you know why kol dolin gvar works? Because psychologically, I fight to defend my property more than I fight to steal your property. That's always true. You always see cases in the papers, whatever, in current events. Some guy who put himself with a crazy sakana to defend his own property. Right? A thief came in and he was clearly outgunned and he clearly should have just let the thief steal, but he can't bear to see someone steal his property. So he stands up to the thief and unfortunately gets shot, and it's a very sad story. Maisim b'chol yom. Psychologically, a person is ferocious to defend their own property. How about making money? Now, making money all work, but there are limits. How hard am I going to fight to make money and to steal your money? So I'll steal money, but you know what? I'm not going to work so hard to steal money. I'll go steal someone else's money if it's too hard. Right? For sure, Balabata defending their property are more ferocious than thieves stealing property. Unfortunately, nowadays thieves are often better armed. But the Balabata are always more ferocious. That's human psychology. That even though an economist... Economists don't understand psychology, and now they do. That's why a few of the recent ones won Nobel Prizes. In the old days, they didn't, yeah? They'd say, what do you mean? It's a net difference of $100 either way. That's fine for economists if we're all robots. But for people, we all know that whether I get $100 from you or not is worth something to me. Whether I let you take my $100, I'll die for it. And therefore, the owner will win, the rightful owner will win, because I'll defend his property. Not only that, one second, not only that, the thief will say, why am I giving Moser now? Why should I fight so hard? Even if I win, he'll bring aid them and he'll get it back for me anyway. So the rightful owner will say, I'm going to fight and keep it. The non-rightful owner, right, the Russia, will say, why am I going to fight so hard? I might lose it anyway. No one wants to work hard for something they might lose anyway. And therefore, psychologically, Caldwell and Vire, first of all, the rightful owner might recoup, and even if he doesn't, the rightful owner will fight harder based on our insight into human psychology. So Caldwell and Vire makes sense, says the Rush. Caldwell and Vire makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. So for the Rush, Caldwell and Vire is really, it's not such an unreasonable svara. And some of the Achronim take this Rush very seriously. Right, I just mentioned in brackets, but this is a big discussion in the Achronim. Would we say Caldwell and Vire if we didn't think that the rightful owner would fight harder? And there are a number of Achronim who say we would not. For example, the Shach, that I put in brackets here, quotes from the Lavush, that, well, what if no one knows who's right? What's an example of no one knows who's right? So all the Rishonim say, any Shem of Shem, or Machlok Zaposim. What if I have the Rama on my side, you have Tosfos on your side? But neither of us really know who's right. Right? So then the Shach quotes from Lavush, then we don't say Caldwell and Gvar. Because, like, they're both going to fight equally hard. So what's the point of saying Caldwell and Gvar? We can only say Caldwell and Gvar when the rightful owner would fight harder. If no one knows who's right, Shema v'Shema, then we won't say Caldwell and Gvar. Or the Shvos Yaakov, which is quoted in this. I mean, each of these, of course, say a few things. But the Shvos Yaakov, quoted in the Pisley Chuba bracket, says, he says, and nowadays, when people have more chutzpah and they fight to steal also, we don't say Caldwell and Gvar anymore. He says, Bizmanenu, we don't say Caldwell and Gvar. Because Bizmanenu, even the thieves fight as hard as the Balbatim because they're so wicked. The thieves think they have it coming to them. Thieves think it's chutzpah for you not to let them steal unless they're right to steal. So they'll fight just as hard as the Balbatim. And they won't be worried about the other guy bringing aid because they're beyond the law. So, a number of Achronim actually take this Rush seriously. It's not just a cute idea. No, we only say Caldwell and Gvar if we think that it's going to be likely to lead to the right outcome. We would not say Caldwell and Gvar if it's 50-50. That's what some of the Achronim say. They take this Rush very seriously and pass it on. We only say Caldwell and Gvar when the Rush psychology applies, when the rightful owner will fight hard. If they're going to fight equally hard, we don't say Caldwell and Gvar. That's the sheet of the Rush. According to the Rush, right, you might very well say that Caldwell and Gvar is a real psak. It's a real logical psak to say Caldwell and Gvar. After all, Bezdin possibly stung Rove, what if the money is 51% likely to be yours and 49% likely to be his? So, assuming there's no mochsak, Bezdin will paskin based on Rove and say, you know what, it's more likely to be yours, so we'll give it to you. So Caldwell and Gvar is a psak. Obviously, you can't rely on this 100%. The Rush isn't saying, he's not naive, he's not saying all the time Caldwell and Gvar will lead to the rightful owner getting his money. No, sometimes the rightful owner is a puny pipsqueak and the thief is a Goliath and a malasot. But he's saying, you know what? More likely than not, Caldwell and Gvar will lead us to the right psak. Therefore, it's to the right result. Therefore, it's a reasonable psak.
It's only a temporary psak. Even if you hold that it's a real psak, it's not really a psak.
Because eco make one of the melsa. Ah, okay. Now, this could explain the machlokas l'shitasin. What did the Rush say in Bava Basra? What's called on Gvar? Let's say there's a boat. Called on Gvar. Who wants to fight about the boat? Who hasn't done anything yet? Sam and Josh. All right? Sam Fromms and Josh Gutenberg. So, you're fighting over the boat. Sam looks a little taller, at least sitting. Chas has a shifty look in his eyes, which, you know, gives me pause and leaves a certain amount of concern. Okay, but let's say Sam wins, he grabs the boat. Then what happens?
Winning, he grabs.
What does the Rush say? What do you say? What does Josh think?
Grab back.
Yeah, grab back, call low and far. What do you mean? That was round one. There's still round two. What does Sam think? Once you grab the vote. Yeah, what do you mean? He was all on fire. It's over, right? You can't keep going back and forth forever. This is Machlokes Rishonim. Sunday. Of course, Zerux here in Bava Basra. The Rush says, whoever grabs it first wins, unless the other guy brings a proof. You can't keep grabbing it back and forth forever. No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. You think the Chum will want to fight forever? Today I win, tomorrow you win. You think the Chum want to be attacking? They should fight the rest of their lives? Like, does that make sense? That doesn't make any sense. It makes sense that whoever wins first wins in Zehu. What does the Shita and Gubetz is quoting the Shita lo nodu l'mi? I don't know who... Who wrote this? It's Katsu Vashita Lo Nodu L'mi. Okay, if you know who wrote it, tell me. He says, no. Shatam Shamar Kodolim. Now, what do you think is better for society? That whoever gets it first keeps it until someone brings proof in court, or that they fight over it for the rest of their lives? What do you think is more pleasant? The Rush. So why does Shita Lo Nodu L'mi object to that? He says, no. He says, I don't care what's pleasant. I'm a Lamdan. I'm not a Protestant. I'm an Orthodox Jew. I don't only care what's pleasant. I care what's conceptually logical. Says, came to like a Jordan moment of Rabbi Lechem Mekhem of Demilsa. Came to get Noach Lanicham Laskert Son of Lonasa and Din Shiachal over the Etos. He says, Pashit, what is Kaldolin Gvar? Kaldolin Gvar is not a Psak. Kaldolin Gvar is a. Is a sila. Koldon Gvar means we're not poskening, right? You can go to court and say, I want to sue someone, and the court says, no, we don't want to accept your lawsuit. We're not poskening who's right and who's wrong. We're not getting involved. Two people come to court, say, so I say it's my vote, you say it's your vote. What did the Bezin say? Bezin says, so what do you want from us? So go home. You didn't bring us anything, right? You didn't bring us Adim, you didn't bring us Chazaka, you didn't bring us anything. So go home, why are you wasting our time? You have no right to step into Beis Din just because I say it's my vote and you say it's your vote. There's a siluk. So what does Shita Lo Nodu say? He says, look, it might be unpleasant for them to fight the rest of their lives, but it doesn't matter. Kol Olam Gvar means Beis Din is not Nizgaglen, doesn't judge them. Beis Din says, sorry, we're on vacation. Right? They're going on a coffee break. So if Beis Din doesn't do anything, then how could it ever end? Bezin's not getting involved, or Bezin didn't say anything. If we didn't say anything, then you could go on fighting because no one ever said anything. Like, basically, Bezin left you alone in the state of nature. So, of course, you can go on fighting because Bezin's not involved. Who's going to stop you from fighting your whole lives? And if you don't like fighting your whole lives, that's your own problem. Go work it out between yourselves. That's what he says. Why, and why wouldn't Bezin get involved? Bezin says, look, you have nothing to bring us to make us get involved. So why should we get involved in paskin a falsehood? If we cannot get involved and keep our hands clean, better if that's what he says. That v'lonas anu din shiachol v'etos. Why should we paskin and make a mistake? There's no evidence here. We're keeping our hands clean and let you work it out yourselves, and it's your own tough luck. So he says it's a siluk. What does the Rush then think? Perhaps there's a fundamental machlokas here, and the Rush is l'shitase, right? Generally understood, the Rush is l'shitase. The Shita Lo Nodu L'mi holds that kol dolin gvar is a siluk. Kol Dolin Gvar means Bezin's not paskin. We're refusing to paskin. If we refuse to paskin, then do whatever you want. It never ends. There are no rules. What do you mean? Einam establish a chum yitkenu. Chum weren't even talking anything. Chum just recused themselves. The Rush says, no, Kol Dolin Gvar is a psak. Therefore, as a psak, it has to have a clear resolution. It has to make sense. It has to have a way of dealing with the situation. And the way of dealing with the situation, say whoever wins first, wins. Mehechi Tesele, so you give a, such a weird psak as fighting it out? Not so crazy, because fighting it out actually works most of the time. So Chacham gave a psak. We don't know the answer, but we can put you guys through a laboratory test and make you display the answer on your own, fight it out, and whoever wins first is the one who fought harder, is probably the rightful owner. And then, now we have the psak, now move on with your lives. Of course, if you bring a riot, that's different. But meanwhile, move on with your life. So it could be they're arguing about a Chakira, right? What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the nature of Kol Dolin Gvar. Tosva says, Kol Da'olin Gvar is a psak. It's a logical psak. And the Riva says, Kol Da'olin Gvar is a siluk. Now, I sort of hear where they're coming from. Rabbi Natan says, Kol Da'olin Gvar is a logical psak. Look, let's say, unless it's Opsin, why not say Kol Da'olin Gvar? It's a logical psak, right? So it's a good option. It's a logical psak. It's a good option. Kol Da'olin Gvar. What might the Riva say? It's a siluk. That really, it's only when we can't give a real psak. Maybe that's the machlokas. Rabbi Natan says, Kol Da'olin Gvar is a good idea. Do Kol Da'olin Gvar unless it's Opsin. Why? It's a good psak, like the Rush. The Rush looks like Rabbi Natan. Well, maybe the Riva says, no. Kol Da'olin Gvar means you're not getting involved. Of course we should try to get involved. We try to get involved. We don't get involved when there's a vada remai, and we don't want to get tolls and give a vada remai money. When we can't get involved, we're stuck with Kol Da'olin Gvar. But it's better to give a psak than to give a psilik. This is a good option, therefore it's a preferred psak. Yes, no, it's better to give a psak. When we can't give a psak because we don't want to reward a vada remai, then we're stuck being misalik ourselves. But it's better to give a psak. So maybe they're arguing about this chakira, and there could be nafkaminas of this chakira, right? One nafkamina is that the Rush would say that we only say Kol Da'olin Gvar if the rightful owner would fight harder, because it's a logical psak. We only say it when it's logical. Well, perhaps the Riva would say no. We say Kol Da'olin Gvar regardless of psychology. And another nafkamina might be, this would be the Rush. Lishitase that says the first gover wins. After all, we want to have a result here. The result has to mean that it comes to a result. It's a psak. Well, the Shitlo Nodalami would say that no, they keep fighting. Keep fighting forever. So it could be there's a fundamental hakira here. What is Kol Da'olin Gvar? Is Kol Da'olin Gvar a solution? Or is Kol Da'olin Gvar giving up defeat and raising the right flag and saying we can't handle the situation? The two classic nafkaminas are, if Kol Da'olin Gvar is a solution, maybe we should only say it when there's a reason why the rightful owner would be more likely to win, like the Rush and the Ekrona that I quoted. Well, if it's just a siluk, then maybe we should always say a siluk. What's the difference who's going to win? We're not involved. If Kol Da'olin Gvar is a psak, it should have an end. A psak should have a result. Kol Da'olin Gvar is a siluk, that should never end. And then it should be a state of nature. Then who cares how long they fight? That's not our problem.
Does that mean the Riva doesn't hold the concept of Shaita to Dayina, or that Kol Da'olin Gvar is an output of Shaita to Dayina also?
No. Well, is why wouldn't the Riva say Shuta to Dayina? So it could be that the Riva would. Probably the answer is because since in the Talis it's Ikalamekal and Demilsa, you can't say Shuta to Dayina when someone might bring proof, because it's a bizoyin for Bezdin to use their intuition and then be disproven. That's probably the answer. So this is one way of analyzing the machlokes between Tan and Riva might be they're arguing about how the nature of Kol Da'olin Gvar. Is Kol Da'olin Gvar a good idea, or is Kol Da'olin Gvar an act of desperation when we're stuck? Now, if you look at the Shudder Rush after the brackets here, it throws that into some degree of question, because the Shudder Rush seems to say that really even the Rush agrees that it's a sealant. Everyone agrees it's a sealant. The Rush just throwing in some nice svaras to make it more appealing to the Baal Batin. So I think there's a second way. This is one way of understanding it. The second way of understanding it, and with this I'll just describe for 1 minute and then end. The second way is to say maybe they're arguing about the role of Beis Din. They're not arguing about Kol Da'olin Gvar and Yachloku. They're arguing about what Beis Din is all about. What's the job of Beis Din? Now, what is the job of Beis Din? Anyone? What's the job of Beis Din? People fight with each other over money. What's the job of Beis Din?
Come up with the truth.
The job of Beis Din is to come up with the truth. Okay, has anyone ever Heard of, what do they call it? They take you sometimes to Beit Mishpat Ha? In Israel?
Shalom.
HaShalom. What's the job of Beit Mishpat HaShalom? To find the truth?
To keep the peace.
To keep the peace? Is the job of a Beit Din to find the truth or to keep the peace? Obviously both. But what's the primary job of, obviously, you know, you should know if you're interested in lumdus in secular law, they deal with this a long time ago. They say it depends, you know, and in ancient Roman times they held one side of the Chakira, and then when they started the peace courts in 12th century England and common law, they held the other side of the Chakira. Okay, lo mashanah, that's not our Indian right now. But is the job of Bezdin to find truth or keep the peace? Obviously both, because Bezdin in the Torah has responsibility for the klal. Obviously Bezdin should want the klal to have peace, and Bezdin should want Chosam HaShel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes Tzedek to be done. But what's the more important role of Bezdin? Maybe they're arguing about the base of all sacred and zikin, about what a Bezdin is. What is better, kol dol dvar yachlokum? That depends. If the job of Bezdin is to find the truth, what's better, kol dol dvar yachlokum? If you don't know the answer, what's better, to give each guy half if you don't know whose it is, or to not get involved?
Not get involved.
You give each guy half, you're lying. You're giving someone half they don't deserve. Better, that's exactly what Shita Nodomi said. Better to not make a toss and not get involved. Maybe Tom thinks that the primary role is to paskin the truth. To paskin the truth. Look, Bezdin's job is to paskin truth. If they can't find the truth, let them do a kol da'ol and gvar and not do a falsehood of giving each guy half when the odds are that it all belongs to one of them. What might the Ritva hold? The primary role is to keep the peace. No, obviously Bezdin's trying to find the truth. They're not, they're not shallow people who just say whatever makes you happy. Obviously Bezdin is trying to find the truth. But you know what? The important role for Bezdin, if people fight, they shouldn't fight anymore. They should keep peace in society. Obviously try to find the truth. If they can't find the truth, then make a pshara and keep people happy. Look, if we're stuck because there's a Ramai, then sometimes we'll have to go to Kol Da'ol and Gvar. But all else being equal, I'd rather have a yachloku and just have each go home with half. You know what? If you each go home with half, neither of you is going to storm into court and shoot the judge or shoot your opponent tomorrow. Because you'll each have half and you'll say, let me just enjoy what I have for now. Right? Instead of saying, why don't you guys go fight over it? Right, so it could be, again, obviously Bezdin's both jobs, because what would Bein Tam say? He would say, look, Bezdin's job is to find the truth. If we can't find the truth, we're going to say kol dol and gvar. But sometimes we can't find the truth, we'll say shoot it to daimi. Sometimes we'll say yachloku. Sometimes we'll say hey munach. You know, sometimes we'll do other things. Riva would say, look, Bezdin's job is to keep the peace yachloku. But sometimes, when the vada remai will say, look, we can't hunt for remai, and we'll just have to stand on our principles and say kol dol and gvar. So it's a matter of emphasis, but it could be they have a fundamental machlokes here. What is the main responsibility of Bezdin to keep peace in Am Yisrael and keep society running? Or Chosam HaShel Kadosh Baruch Hu Emes, to do the truth and make sure the right person receives his money and tzedek is done in the world? Obviously both have been a matter of emphasis. This is two ways of analyzing the machlokes. The human being of time and the Riva on the fundamental level of motherhood was something Hulkin. Okay, I've given you a lot of food for thought now. Obviously, if you wanted to spend a month discussing this, you could go into the Machlokes Moshe Aharon and Sanhedrin, Daf Zayin, as to whether Pshara is better or Din is better, and many other issues which we will leave for now. What I want to come back to, I didn't get to number five yet, is go back a little and Ochsin Shiny, and what's the nature of this Ochsin, and why does her Rambam say sitting in a simta is good enough, while Rumi Gash said, and the other Rishon thinks a simta is not good enough, and what's the nature of Yachloku? We analyze Kol Dol and Gvar, we analyze Bezdin. We'll come back and talk a little more about Yachloku.
Yes, Hashem.